in here.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. We are here on the end of the year, and really just a couple days of just reflecting on where we've been and what worked and what didn't work. And, of course, I'd love to give it our phone number here, and that is 805-419-0008. I want to remind you to follow us all the way through our social. There's always some positive, amazing tips. And if you miss any part of our show, download our podcast and take us with you every single day. Of course, I always give away things. And, of course, today we've got some books from some of my authors. So definitely I want to make sure you got that number, 419-0008. Again, I like to start my show with something uplifting, and of course, the end of the year might seem bittersweet, but it's a new start that brings clarity, and really, that's what it's all about. You know, you get to that end, and you're like, did I get through all my goals? Did I, you know what, every single day is a goal. Every single day that we are here is a chance to restart and start your day again. So don't ever feel like I didn't do it, because guess what? Just restart your day as we're restarting our year. I am really excited to introduce my my guest today. I've got some amazing guests, as I always do. And if you ever want to be a guest and you have something to share or you'd like to be a sponsor, we so appreciate you. So please, just call us at 805-419-0008. My first guest is Corey Poirier, and I hope I said that right, Corey. Did I?
You did it better than I could.
Okay, I like that. Thank you. And he is that speaker guy, a multiple-time TEDx speaker, and he's the BLU Talks founder. He's the co-author of Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller, Quiet List. Quit List, is that right? Quiet List? Quit List.
Yeah, Quit List.
Okay, I love that. Quit List. I'm going to ask you about that. But again, we are super excited. And of course, we're going to talk about how the power of vitamin D and how to leverage living on purpose to crush it in life and in business. And let's just start off, because I'm sure my listeners are like, vitamin P, I haven't heard of that vitamin before. But that actually stands for passion. And if you have ever worked with somebody that is so passionate about what they do, oh my God, I love when I find a doctor, I find a dentist, or I find even a business coach that is full of passion. Oh my God, you're going to over receive, and that's what it's all about. So Corey, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Kim. I'm super excited to be here, especially in the middle of the holidays and, you know, still making magic happen while everybody's getting a chance to take a break. So happy to be here.
You know what it is like? I really noticed that a lot of like my PRs and everybody was down, and my husband's like, just play a best of. And I was like, no, I need to bring that energy to my audience, to my listeners, and keep it going, because everybody takes off during this last week, and that's when I start coming back stronger. So I love that. So let's talk about P stands for passion, and talk to us about who you are. And first of all, what is Quit List?
So Quit List was a book that I co-authored with some other authors. And of course, the goal was to reach a lot of people in a short amount of time. So we all kind of pooled our resources together to aim to get it on some big best-selling list, so that way more people would know about it. And the idea is essentially just kind of as it sounds, you're just somebody who doesn't quit. And so the idea was that the people that were selected to be co-authors were people that essentially just kept on pushing, even long past the point when the pushing for most people would be done. So hopefully that defines it well.
I love that because, you know, we all do get a little frustrated, right? And it's like, instead of beating ourselves up, let's kind of look at going, okay, guess what? What do I have to back off, look at it, and restart? And actually, it just fits with our restarting our next year and just looking at, I even heard this from somebody. I was in so many different classrooms, I would say, right? I flew out to Austin to be in a whole seminar for a week. And it's not even like, don't look at what worked and what didn't. I mean, that's one strategy, right? But what do you want to change for 2024? What are like three things that you want to look different? And that's really what I did. I was like, okay, I'm getting all my mailing, my emails and all that stuff in order. And so I had my little three things so I wasn't overwhelmed. What do I want to look different? And how about you, Corey? What about you? What do you want to look different for 2024?
So what's interesting, Kim, to me, and I don't, you know, speak for other people, of course, but I struggle sometimes because I'm one of those people that Monday is just as exciting to me as Friday. And
me
so much
too.
The same way.
I love that. Okay.
Well, yeah, there's a book. I forget who wrote it, but it's called Every Day a Monday. I think it might be Joel Osteen or somebody wrote it. And I love that title because how I live. And so for me, that's how I live my week. And it's much the same way as I live my year. So whereas most people are like, you know, 3 months from the new year saying, oh, I'm so glad this year's over. I hear that so often and see it posted so often. I'm the opposite. I'm like, man, this is a great year. I'm sad to see it go. Now, having said that, I'm also excited for the new year. So I struggle sometimes with it because I don't view it as like, oh, thank gosh, it's almost over. I look at it like, again, it's been such a blessed year. I hate to say goodbye. So having said that, for me, it's not as much about what do I want to change? Because I'm really content with how my year went. For me, it's more about what are the new big, as they say, hairy, audacious goals that I want to achieve. And so for me personally, I am going into some areas I haven't went before, and that's exciting. So one of those areas is we're working on and hopefully finishing up in the next month or so a documentary that we've been working on for quite some time. It's around a time machine question where it's, what would you say to your younger self if you could jump into a time machine? And I've asked that question to everybody from Deepak Chopra to Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong to Gary Vee. And so essentially it's us kind of showing what the answers were, but having a full story around why I started asking it and what I've learned as a result. So we're working on that heavily. I have a new book coming out called The Enlightened Passenger, which I'm super excited about. It's a parable fiction book. It's a mixture. It's almost like nonfiction meets fiction because it's loosely based on my life. And I'm about to sign the agreement with a New York publisher for that one. Actually, the agreement's on my desk just to sign it on Tuesday in the new year. And so those are, I guess, my big two. And then as with our Blue Talk brand, we just launched an experts bureau where we help other people get on stages and get on media and stuff like that. So I'm excited to watch that take shape going into a new year. So those are my big, here's the three things I want to do in the year, but I don't know if I'm going to do a whole lot differently, if that's fair.
Wow. Congratulations. Those are huge. And I love that. I mean, we're very in line for each other, and I'm so excited to get to know you. So first of all, okay, how about the power of vitamin P? Talk to us about that and how to leverage living on purpose to crush it in life and business. And I love that you put in business because, you know, as a business media coach, the way we run our life is the way we run our business, and people don't really, you know, I thought you were just a business coach. Well, guess what? You know, we wake up, maybe we don't start our day in a positive way. We have to like work our day, which is part of our life, to get to be successful in business. Do you agree?
I do, so much so that I had a talk, and I still have it, I guess, but a talk I used to deliver frequently called The Better Life Formula Revealed. And what was fascinating to a lot of people is I delivered that talk to businesses just as much as I would to an association with individual members. Because to your point, you know, I said if you get this dialed in, it's going to impact both your personal life, of course, but this is going to grow your business dramatically, because when your personal life changes, it impacts your business. So yes, I talked to somebody yesterday who told me that he started listening to audiobooks, and he was somebody that never did before. And he said once he did, he couldn't, I guess you could say, go back behind the curtain. He learned so much in self-development in about 50 audiobooks like Think and Grow Rich and How to Win Friends, mm-hmm. that he said, right. I changed to the point where my friends that I had hung around with all along that didn't read those books, it was even hard for us to relate to each other anymore because I transformed so much. So, of course, that's going to impact his career and or business. So, yeah, I think it all impacts each other.
Yeah, I love that. And I love Think and Grow Rich, first of all. It's so funny. Every job that I started, they gave that book to me. And I was like, okay, so now guess what I give to everybody that starts with me? That book. Because it really does put a different perspective on life and business.
Yeah, you know what? And that book's a prime example of what you asked, because people bought that book at the time, you know, the title, right during the Depression. They thought they were buying it to get rich financially. And they didn't really, I don't think, connect the part of the book title with that was Think and Grow Rich, and didn't realize the idea was they were going to change their mindset so that, as Jim Rohn, the business philosopher, said, you can make $1 million and give it all away. It won't matter then, because it's about who you changed to become when you made $1 million. You know, what you had to become and who you had to become to actually get there. And so I think Think and Grow Rich is the same thing. It might help you make riches, but more importantly, I think it changes everything about the core of who you are if you really dive into that book. And honestly, I'm a mega fan. I just did an interview with the late Bob Proctor's son, Brian Proctor, at Bob's studio, and I got to hold the 16-year-old book.
Love. Yeah, we're totally on the same page here, yep.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people wouldn't know, but Bob read from that book every day for 62 years.
I'm certified with them, so yes. I love it.
So
you talked to his son then, right?
So I interviewed his son at Bob's studio, but what was really significant is I interviewed Bob pre-COVID and before he passed away, actually to ask him, well, I was working on a different documentary at the time, which got held up because of COVID, but then we started this one, and I got to ask Bob that question about the time machine. And then I thought, how fascinating would it be to have the interview with Bob where I'm holding the book out in Bob near his pool, and then, because the other one was in the fall, interview his son inside his Bob studio holding the book again. I thought, how cool would it be in the documentary So that's the connection.
How was his son compared to Bob?
So honestly, I mean, I the best way I can say it is because his son, which a lot of people didn't know, worked behind the scenes with him for years.
Right.
I mean, he really fully understood everything, not everything, but almost everything his father shared over the years and really studied it. Like when his father shared something, he's like, oh, I'm going to dive in. Kind of like what Bob did with Think and Grow Rich. And so for me, even though the answers are different, the people are different, meaning Bob and him are different, I felt a similar energy, and I also felt a similar wisdom. And like I said, maybe because they worked together so long, but I felt a similar wisdom. So I wouldn't really say it was massively different, and they also look a bit alike. I guess I have to say the interviews are somewhat similar. I guess the big difference is just the nature on how they lived them. So Brian would have lived them while working with Bob, whereas Bob would have lived them, you know, Brian was born actually, and he told me this, that he was born the same year his father got the book. So he's 62 years old. And so, of course, there would have been probably, 20 some or 30 some years that Bob would have been doing this in the trenches before his son got into it. And so, of course, you're going to see a difference that way, you know, because Bob had those extra years. But yeah, I felt like both people just delivered amazing wisdom that kind of was like mind blown each time they shared a big nugget.
I love it. So let me just, we have a couple minutes. I got to bring you back. Okay. Cause this is already like, we totally went off, but why is it important for a person to live on purpose, and how can they start doing that? Like starting today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say vitamin P, cause I know we never chatted about it. I always say to people, it's the most important vitamin you'll ever take, but it's the one you can't buy in stores. And as you said, it's passion or purpose. I use them interchangeably, which is kind of fascinating, Kim, because I don't think they're the same thing. But they're both P, and I think they both change your life. To me, the difference is passion is what you're doing, and purpose is why you're doing it. So, for example, if passion could be taking photos, purpose is why are you taking the photos? Like, what gets you going with that, or what do you hope to deliver? So just to clarify, that's kind of, for me, how I define the two. How, if I said really quickly in less than 2 minutes, how people can start doing it, I would say the quick exercise I would invite people to do is take a pen and a piece of paper, whether now or later, write down the list of all the things you would do if money wasn't an issue. Then on that same list, add on, what did you do when you were a kid, got you excited, and you never watched the clock? Then I want you to add, what was the thing that you were doing and somebody talked you out of doing because they said it wasn't practical? And basically, you're building this list of things that chances are lit you up that you forgot about or don't do anymore. And what I want people to do is put the one that they can't live without at the top. So what's the one that's most important to them? And then I want them to break it down and say, what are the four things I would have to do to start doing it? So if it was stand-up comedy, maybe you have to buy a book on comedy. Maybe you have to invite a comedist out for lunch. Maybe you have to go watch comedy. Maybe you have to write down what was funny and why it was funny. And so figure out what are those small steps. Start taking those small steps. Reward yourself each time you accomplish one of them. And the ultimate situation is, within a short amount of time, you'll be able to take that step, let's say, on a stand-up comedy stage, because you've done all the small steps and you've gained that confidence. And then what will happen is, fairly quickly, you'll know from the feeling you get whether or not this is a true purpose or passion. And ultimately, the goal with that, Tim, is that you use this exercise, and in maybe 3 months, by doing this, you can figure out which one, if not more, but which one is your purpose and calling. And then instead of waiting your whole life, all of a sudden, even though it took a bit of time, you got to do something you love for a few months, and now all of a sudden you got a fire in your belly, and you go, wow, this is going to change everything. I say this because sometimes people hear that and go, oh, it's going to take a bit of time to do that. Yeah, but it's a list of things you said you love doing. And then the other side is, they say only 25% of people ever discover their purpose in their whole life. And once you discover it, you know how powerful it is. And so if it only takes you 3 months while doing things you love, to me, that's a valuable and worthwhile exercise. But to circle back, that's the exercise I would have people do, is what are the things you love doing? What are the steps you'd have to take to start doing them more regularly? And then dive in.
I love that. I love that, Corey. Let me ask you, how important are the people you have in your life in terms of results? What do they say, that we are the five people that we hang with? I mean, when you look at that, it's kind of like, ooh, okay, right? I mean, and not really, kind of including your family too, right?
Yeah. So I guess with the answer, how important, I won't say everything, but they're fairly close to everything. So to the point where when I was battling anxiety and hypochondria for a number of years, I realized that I was finally feeding my mind the right thing. I was reading the right stuff. I was listening to the right stuff, and it still wasn't working. So then I had to look at, as you said, you know, what did they say? What are the only difference between you of today and you of 5 years time will be the books that you read and the people you meet. So I was reading the right book. So then I had to look at the people. And so I think it's everything, because what changed my life was I actually did an exercise where I literally wrote down the list of who am I surrounding myself with frequently. And then I actually added a positive sign to the ones that were bringing positive energy to me, a negative to the ones that were bringing negative energy. And then I literally could look and see, am I influencing my life with more positive or negative people? And what I found is, what shocked me, is that of 18 people on that first list, 16 were people that brought negativity in some form to me. So once I knew that, then all of a sudden I could say, okay, how can I reduce the negativity, meaning less time spent with maybe a person that's in your family that you don't want to remove? And then who can I remove? And then how can I start adding people? And if I did that same list today, if the number was, let's just say it's the same number, 18, I would argue that 17 are positive and one is somewhat negative, but they're a close family member, and I just reduce my time with them overall. So I think it's everything, so much so that I did an exercise to figure out why things weren't diving. And by the way, within a couple of months of me doing that exercise, making the changes, I literally, my hypochondria and anxiety started disappearing.
Wow, that's incredible. Let me ask you, okay, because my show is all about the brighter side of life and business, okay, but there's days that you wake up and maybe you're not feeling it. How do you regenerate yourself to start in a positive way?
That's a great question, because I think a lot of people think we're either born positive or we're not, and I don't believe that. And so what I do is I feed myself positive things every day. So it could be quotes, like maybe I go to Zig Ziglar's fan page or Facebook page, read some positive quotes, maybe I listen to an audio program or an audio book. So I basically feed myself. I always say people think so much about how much they feed their body, but they never think about how they're feeding their mind. So what I do is I pay attention to what I'm feeding my mind. And what's really cool, Kim, is I built up, I'll say deposits. I built up so many deposits on the day I need to make a withdrawal, meaning from my energy because I'm not feeling it, I already have a built-in Teflon, basically. So I can go a day sitting with a negative person for 10 hours, and it's not going to take me down. Or I could have that day where I wake up and don't have the energy, and I can push myself through it. Or if I need to, I'll give myself grace, and I won't push myself through it, and I'll take the day off because I know I've deserved it. But either way, I actually now have this kind of built-in force field or Teflon because of how long I've been making deposits versus how often I make withdrawal.
I love that. Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, so my last question to you, and then I'm going to bring you back because I love what you're talking about. Law of attraction, do you believe in it?
I believe in manifestation. I believe in the law of attraction. I believe it is working for us. However, the one thing I do believe as well is when a lot of us learned about the law of attraction through The Secret, I don't hide behind saying the name, but a lot of us learned about the law of attraction through The Secret, myself included, even though I was already on the path. And what I found afterward is I was like, okay, I already get this stuff. I know how to implement it. But I had all these friends that said, I'm going to use this now and get a new motorbike. And they thought they're going to have a motorbike outside with a ribbon on it the next day and all this. But I noticed all these people said, I'm going to start doing this and attract this stuff. And then a week later, I'm like, how's that going? Ah, that stuff doesn't work. And what I recognize is that in that movie and in the book, and a lot of times when we talk about the law of attraction in general, we never talk about an equally important law called the law of action. So, yes, I do believe in the law of attraction, but I do believe as well it only works, especially in a maximum benefit way, if you're applying an action movement as well. I mean, action's even in the word attraction. And to back this up, which is kind of wild, I've interviewed now, I think it's 6 people that were in The Secret, and I've asked them all about this. And Lisa Nichols gave an amazing answer. She said, Corey, I'll explain it like this. If you sit on a couch and you have the best vision board ever made sitting beside you, and you look at the vision board all year and wish about all the things you want, but at the end of the year, you don't get up off the couch, all you're going to have your name at the end of the year is a lump in your couch.
Oh my God, makes so much sense. You're so right.
So yeah, I think we need to figure out what action we have to take, and we have to take that action if we really want manifestation to work for us. And then there's a whole other discussion around the idea of sometimes we think we need something, but we get something different. And maybe it's because the first thing we thought we needed was actually a want, and the universe gives us what we actually need instead, which could look different, but in a lot of cases, it could be even better. So yes, I believe in it all. At the same time, I think we need to be flexible. And I also think we need to lift a finger as well to make it happen.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I loved our conversation. How do my listeners find you? And I definitely want you to come back.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Kim. And I'd say the easiest way, I always like to give away a gift. So I mentioned, I have a book actually about this whole thing about finding your why. And so the book's called The Book of Why and How. And so I know a lot of people love audiobooks now. So what I'd love to give away is a free audiobook. And so all people have to do to get it is they just go to thebookofwhyaudio.com. So thebookofwhyaudio.com. Basically, they sign up there to get the book sent to them. And it's on SoundCloud, so it's easy. You don't even have to download anything. And you can literally listen to the full book for free and maybe, just maybe, figure out your why in the process. So that's what I'd like to give people. And that's the easiest way to connect with me as well.
I love that. Will you send me one? Now I want my why.
Yeah,
I love it.
I absolutely will.
Okay, cool. Corey, Happy New Year. Happy 2023. It sounds like you've done an amazing job bringing wisdom, inspiration, and joy and to your life and to so many others. I can't wait to connect with you further and see what we could do together. So I love it. Please share our show, download our podcast, and happy, happy, happy today and forever.
Likewise, Kim, and the feeling is mutual, and thank you to you and your listeners for welcoming me today. So, absolute pleasure.
You got it. All right. Wow, wow, wow. That is the start of our Saturday here, and of course, I'm going to bring my next guest on. We're going to take a really quick break, but Nina Rosner, the Respect Dare, and we're going to talk with her, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Feels like... I'm standing in a timeless dream of light mist, of pale amber rose.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit tntams.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to tntams.com. Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, my next guest is Nina Rosner. And, of course, her book is The Respect Dare. And, of course, you know, it's really with all due respect. I love that. I mean, respect is, like, such an important thing in our world. And it helps people move closer to you in so many ways, even respect in our relationship, respect with our families, respect with our parents, respect at work. I mean, it's like up there on finding your purpose is like respect. So I'm so excited to talk with Nina. Nina, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Kim, thank you for having me.
Yeah, happy we're at the end of the year. And this is such a great practice for people that just to take a moment to say, you know, you go into a store and it's like looking in somebody's eyes. You know, the other day I was in the store and somebody had called and I answered the phone and he, you know, the teller didn't even really want to look at me. I was like, okay, made it. Wait a minute. I'm being probably rude. So I'm like, I will call you right back and let me start all over. You know, I mean, the littlest things like that make a difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they really do. And it is a lack of respect that destroys our relationships, whether they're the informal everyday ones, you know, that you have with the bank teller, or they're the most important ones in our lives and our family.
Correct. So first of all, tell us a little bit about why you wrote your book. And is this your first book?
Yeah, it is the first book. You know, I'm not really an author. I just feel so thankful. It just came out in like a month. And it's a process. Yeah, I know.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Shocked that it did well and is doing well still. And I'm thrilled with the end result of it, because it's really a way of killing the selfishness piece in us and then discovering that we need to choose to be a respectful person, and that other people's behavior doesn't get to pick that for us.
Well, as you are this soft-spoken woman here that I'm speaking to, I know I have to ask this just because, but were you respectful or were you not respected?
How about yes to both?
Okay.
But one of the things that we don't know about respect is that if we don't respect ourselves, like if we're lying to people instead of telling the truth about, no, I really don't want to go with you to the mall, or, you know, no, I'm not going to go to your party. Thank you for inviting me, though. If we're lying, that's disrespectful to ourselves. And how many times do we do that? And so then we do that with other people, and then they don't trust us.
Honestly, does that mean that it's we're pleasers? So that's disrespectful too?
I'm sorry.
Oh, she's like, sorry to tell you, that is a big one right there. I never really would have thought of that, but then you're pleasing somebody else, but you're not respecting yourself.
And they know it comes out sideways as resentment or bitterness. Best thing that we can do is be honest about what we're really experiencing. Even if it's saying a hard truth to someone, like, I want to have dinner with you tonight, and I don't like how you spoke to me in front of the kids, so I need an apology around that and your word that you're not going to do that again. That's respecting me and respecting the other person, because it's not saying you're so inconsiderate, you're so rude, no, be respectful of yourself and say what you don't like in a way that asks for what you actually want, and then put other people ahead of yourself sometimes.
Wow, that's like a definite eye opener. I mean, I'm sure my listeners out there are just going, okay. In every day, you know, even at work, you know, you have your own little, like, your little work zone, and people come over and hand you more stuff, and you're like working on your thing, and, you know, how do you go, can you just give me a minute? Let me finish this up and then I'll help you.
Yeah.
It really applies in so many levels and in relationships and in sex. I mean, there's just so many things.
Yeah. And, you know, to your example, I mean, that happens to us all the time, right? They have a crisis, they need something solved. So how can we handle that respectfully? It's real simple. Like you said, you know, you can say to them, hey, I want to give you and this my full attention, and I'm tied up for the next 20 minutes finishing this. So I'll come find you when I'm done here. And then you go right back to what you were doing. And they're like, oh, you can't just interrupt me and give me your problem. And I'm respecting you with saying I'm going to follow up. And then I do that.
So that's like a little bit of a boundary too. So respect and boundary, it's almost like they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, they really do.
You talk about that in your book?
Somewhat. The book is more of a die to self kind of thing, because our culture's so fraught with selfishness. There is one of the stories is about, it actually happened with one of my kids. We were coming back from someplace and he was needing to go to band practice, and he's got his electric guitar and he's like bossing me around. He says, okay, now I need to go in like 10 minutes. I'm hungry. So go in and make me a sandwich and then we need to leave. And I'm thinking, who are you and what have you done with my son? Like, this child does not look like this. He's 15. And I was driving him around still. So I went upstairs and I started reading a magazine. And he walks in and he's like, what are you doing? We need to go. I said, you know what? I love that you're in this rock band. I love that you're doing that. And I think it's great that you guys have rehearsals. I like driving you around when you're respectful to me. I'm not so sure that you were a few minutes ago. What do you think about that? And he goes, you know, you're absolutely right, Mom. I'm really sorry. And I shouldn't have spoken to you like that. I was really bossy. And do you forgive me? I said, absolutely, baby. And he goes, okay, so are we leaving? I said, you can go. I'm not going to drive you. Maybe tomorrow we'll see how communication goes between us. He's like, what do you mean you're not going to drive? I said, I love you. I want you to go do this. But there's a consequence to not treating me respectfully. So you can go do your thing, but I'm not going to chauffeur you over there. And that, you know, so about every 6 months, you know, everybody needs a tune up like that. And it's different.
I like that tune up. I love it. Yeah. And how did he get there? Did he have other
means? Yeah, he called one of the other band members and they're like, we can't do this without you, man. And so one of the other moms came and got him. And then I saw her over the weekend. Oh, no, not at all. So she accosts me and she says, I can't believe you wouldn't drive your son to practice. And I said, you know what? I really appreciate you picking him up. That was very kind and generous of you to do that. She goes, well, you should have been the one to take him. I said, you know what? I think it's more important that he learn how to treat people and to be respectful. And whether or not he was at practice and they do well is a small thing in the big scheme of how does he treat people in life. She goes, well, it was inconvenient for me. And I said, then, sweetheart, you should have said no.
Oh my God. Yeah. So again, that's, you know, like, sure, I'll do it. So she did it for her. I mean, it's really a domino effect.
It can be, yeah. But we only get taken advantage of if we give people permission for that. I think Eleanor Roosevelt said something like that. You know, you can't get taken advantage of without giving somebody your permission to do that to you. So stop.
Wow. So what are we going to find in your book? I love this already. Like, I'm thinking of, like, so many. I've got 4 children, you know, and they're all grown up. And I was one of those moms that tried to do everything for them, mm-hmm. you know, and now they're all busy and they're all, knock on wood, successful. But sometimes they don't have time, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. And then when they want something, they, you know, mom, can you do this, you know? And so it is a mutual respect for everyone.
So asking a question around, you know, what kind of relationship do you want with me now that you're an adult?
And
they're going to have a whole lot of words that they say around that. And you know, I love doing things and bailing you out. For me, relationship is not just rescue. Adults actually enjoy spending time together. And so I'm wondering if you think you're ready to have that level of relationship with me, or are we still doing parent-child? Because I want something more from you. You are so much fun to be with. You're great company. I don't know. What do you think?
Wow.
So I'm communicating my desire in a way that builds them up and helps them raise to a higher level of being, which is what we want.
Mm-hmm. So actually asking your kids, even your husband, right? Your parents or your siblings, you know, really to ask anybody that, what kind of relationship do you want now that you're working? Now that you, you know, I mean, even a girlfriend that was not working, or now they're married and everything changes, you know? And you have to, like, kind of set the ground rules, it sounds like. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, kind of. I mean, you're testing the water to see what they're ready for. And my kids are all, like, I have grandkids, and everybody's grown up. And I did this with one of mine too early. And he's like, what do you mean? What kind of relationship? Well, we're good. And I said, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the only time you talk to me is when you call me when you need something. And I'm just wondering if you want something more than that. And he got really upset with me. And so I thought, okay, he's not ready for that. That's fine. I know where we're at now. And I can love him regardless, because I've been doing that for 2 decades anyway. So, you know, and we've shifted into a different space. Like, a couple weeks ago, he called me and he's like, hey, I want to drive you around in my new car. I'm like, okay. And it was terrifying, but it was fun too, because he bought this weird, the steering wheels on the other side. It's like, okay, here we go. And but that happened, right? And so 10 years ago, that would not have been a thing. You just got to meet people where they're at and respect where they're at, instead of trying to create a reality that doesn't exist because you want it right now. You be patient about that and meet people where they're at.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love it. I mean, so many good things. So what are some of the steps that we should take with our family and everyone to just really
because you can't say I deserve respect. I remember my mom used to say that, and when I'd be like, well, you know, that's not how I'm going to give you respect as a teenager, right? So you have to. It's all about the words you use, correct?
Mm-hmm. It really is, and the intention behind it. So if I'm moving in my relationships with an intention of love, that doesn't mean that I'm just trying to make the other person happy. It means I'm doing whatever's happening in that situation right then that's the next highest moral right thing for me and for them. I'm not being selfish about, well, I just want what I want when I want it. Like, I'm a grown up. And so I'm going to move in that relationship differently than I would if I was needy, because you cannot give respect and receive respect if you're needy in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And if we need to have other people around us think highly of us, communicate all these wonderful things about us so that we can be okay, we're being needy. So we need to know that. I think that's the first step, is know who you are and have a solid clue about what you will and won't do. And then how do you move forward in your relationships with those boundaries that is in a way that's kind and gentle with other people?
Right.
And let them be where they're at. Yeah.
Right. Well, I want to have you back because I want to talk about marriage and all that kind of thing. And I know we don't have enough time right now, but will you come back because there's so many more questions?
So much fun. You're fun.
Well, thank you so much. And again, I love this. So, all right. We are going to, how can my listeners find your book and find more about you?
So it's on Amazon, The Respect Dare. And you can also get a little free class on our website, greaterimpact.org. And it'll help you start navigating this stuff. And it's called 5 Tools to Stop Walking on Eggshells.
Perfect. I love that name. Okay, will you send me one too?
And absolutely.
And I'd love to give away a couple to our listeners. And again, how do they find it, or can they call in right now?
Yeah, the book is on Amazon, or they can go to our website, greaterimpact.org, and they can get it right now.
Okay, perfect. There you go. I appreciate that, and thank you so much. I appreciate you, and thank you so much. Please download our podcast and share our show with everyone.
Will do. So fun today.
Thank you. So take care. All right. Okay. We are actually just going to bring our next guest on. I love this, Meredith Alexander, and of course, she is the CEO of Grit Mindset Academy. And Meredith, are you there?
I am here, and I am super psyched to be here.
And me too. I love it. I love it. We were really just kind of going back and forth, getting our interview together, and I love what we're going to be talking about. So can you share with everyone and share a little bit about who you are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We thought that this time of year would be a great time to really discuss kind of how we know, or do we even have to know, what our calling is relative to our business. There's a lot of talk about, you know, doing something that is your passion and your purpose. And I know some of you who are listening are perhaps a lot like I was, where I just kept feeling like, I'm not quite there. I haven't quite figured that out. And I was watching not just the days, but the decades go by. And ironically enough, the businesses that I ended up kind of loving the most were the ones that ended up being what I kind of call the accidental ones that just sort of happened in spite of my best laid plans, right? Can you relate to that?
Well, you know what? It's so funny. Okay, so I was a hair therapist. I wish I would have thought that I wanted to be a radio host. It never was in my bubble of my brain or even in my wildest dreams, okay? I mean, now I want to be on TV, okay? So that's my next thing. But, you know, it happened. It just happened. And so I realized, like, I all of a sudden had this epiphany that I've been interviewing people my whole entire life.
Yes.
And now I'm on radio interviewing people. I love listening to people's golden nuggets and learning about them. And I always am like, can I give you unsolicited advice that could probably change your whole world right now? And now I do business coaching. And it's so intuitive. And so I definitely feel like it happened by accident.
Yes, 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 yes. And it's so funny. And for me, it almost didn't matter what kind of genre it was in. At one point, I spent years and years in believe it or not, in the jewelry business, simply because I was toying with creating something for my mom. And I was living in New York City at the time, and people loved my earrings and started buying them off my ears. And before I knew it, for years and years, I had a jewelry business with zero training or intention. And what I'm doing now, like you, I never would have guessed in a million years. I am not one of those people who woke up one morning and said, wouldn't it be fun to be a coach, or wouldn't it be fun to be a speaker? In fact, I was someone who said the last thing on earth that I can ever see myself doing is getting up on stage and speaking in front of people. I was the person that you would send up on stage to mess up an introduction to the speaker, not someone who would go out up there. And to me at the time, it felt like, you know, exposing myself to the world. And what ironically changed that was literally an accident. Kim, I shared with you that in 2016, I was kind of at the end of my career of being a single mom for my kids. My youngest daughter had graduated from Yale. Everyone was doing really well. I was starting to breathe easily. My youngest daughter went down to South America for Yale to do some work with the indigenous people of South America. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, this big rock that had probably been on the side of the mountain for millions of years chose the moment when my daughter was underneath it to fall. And she was not expected to live. The injuries that she sustained from this falling boulder were so intense that when I got the call, it was basically one of those calls telling me to rush down to Colombia and that they would hopefully be able to keep her alive long enough for me to say my final goodbyes.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read that on your bio and everything. And oh, my gosh, my heart goes out to you. But where are we today? And oh, my God, you know, and so I love that you talk about by accident, because our life is so precious. You know, I mean, yes, life is what we make it. But, you know, I was talking to my first guest, and we were talking about the law of attraction, but it's the law of action. And you got into action. And, you know, so I'm sure my listeners are like going, oh, dear Lord, okay, now what, you know?
So
where are you now?
So Kim, first of all, I love that you say the law of attraction. To me, one of the things that I hold near and dear, and one of the things that I actually share with my coaching clients, is I believe that the word attraction is actually a contraction for attracting the right action. So the law of attraction. And that really, that was kind of where the magic came in, because as life would have had it, I had been attracted to many things throughout my life that helped me really gain an expertise in how to play the inner game to win. And so when that happened to my daughter, it felt like that's the one thing that I had. I couldn't control the outer game, but I sure as heck could play an inner game. And so she survived the unsurvivable. And so this is what someone out there needs to hear this. Sometimes life, even at your worst moments, is ready to reveal something so precious to your word and so important and so significant that don't get distracted by all the scariness around it, the fear around it. The clue is there, and that became our clue. My daughter survived. I am still her primary 24/7 caregiver to this day. However, she continues to improve, and through that, I discovered, like you, something that I've been naturally doing for decades, something that I've been naturally been drawn to study for decades, and ultimately got to the place where people were sharing the impact that our story had on them, to the point where I got bold enough to face the fear of being on stage and literally remember the moment when I first walked out on the stage and that little voice inside said, "Oh, I love this." And I went, "What? What did you just say?" So
awesome.
Our most powerful I'm possibilities often disguise, show up looking disguised as the impossibilities every single time, I believe.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And so talk to us. Okay. So that's basically how you got into speaking and coaching. And
yeah.
Really. Yeah. So,
it was kind of accidentally. It wasn't intentionally. It was, the intent was to help my daughter and to play the meanest, most brilliant, most, powerful inner game that I was capable of playing relative to my daughter. And so part of that meant energy. And that meant the energy that not only I was projecting onto my daughter in the scenario, but it also meant kind of being a leader for what all the people around the world who were her friends and who knew that this had happened, what they were projecting to her, because I really believed, and again, this goes back to the law of attraction, but I believe that if they saw her as fighting death, that she would have this formidable opponent, versus if they could remember her at her most epic, then that is where she must return. And so I began kind of crafting posts on Facebook that were to that end. And they were very different than what you would normally see. There were no pictures in the hospital. And so people began sharing it. And as she survived the unsurvivable, people felt like they'd witnessed a miracle. So people started reaching out. We started getting media attention. People started asking me to teach it. And then ultimately to speak on stages. And ironically enough, my other business was virtually destroyed by spending so many months in the ICU with my daughter that, it was a typical one door closes, but
another one opens. Yeah. And oh my gosh, I love that.
Come here, my love. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
How beautiful. So what do you think? And I have the most incredible guests today, and I love that when they just come to me, like all the right people show up in your life. Do you agree with that?
I do, and yet I want to insert the caveat. We had tons and tons of angels on so many levels, whether it was a healthcare or just people who magically dropped into my life. At the same time, I think one of the things that was startling to me and that I hear reflected in a lot of clients is that sometime when we feel inspired to go in a specific direction that feels very near and dear to our soul, sometimes the closest people around us don't necessarily feel like our most powerful support system. And so it can sometimes make us lose initiative and doubt ourselves and really get crippled by fear. And I will share with you that when I first started to reveal, well, maybe I will actually lean into becoming a coach and getting on stage, a couple of people who were family members who were really close to me not only didn't support me, but they were angry with me because, Kim, I was 56 years old when this happened. I was 58 when I thought, well, okay, maybe I will do this. And I was full-time caregiver for my daughter, and my other business had been almost destroyed. So there was no obvious logic or safety net vis-a-vis what some of those other people around me thought. And so I had to be bold enough and say, you know what? I can't expect everyone, even those I love, to have the same vision. They have their own set of fears, their own set of experiences, and they can't feel this capacity to dream on this topic that I do. And I have
to
go
and have the vision. I love it.
Yeah.
Meredith, I have to bring you back because this is so much. And we are at the end of my show. Oh my gosh. How do my listeners find you really quick?
So you can find me on any of the social media platforms, from TikTok to Facebook to LinkedIn. And of course, you can find both of my books on Amazon, including the one that really gives the play-by-play of when we were going through Skylar, which is called The Sky is the Limit. And then my most recent one, 100 Days of
Effort. In fact, we're going to give away a couple books. So anybody that's listening right now, call in right now, 419-0008. Happy New Year, everyone. And of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness at the end of the year. And at the end of a year might seem bittersweet, but it's a new start that's bringing clarity. I hope that all of you follow us on Facebook and Twitter and all of there, and we'll talk to you next year. Thank you again.